What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the California Underground Podcast. I am your host, Phil, along with my trusty co-host, the best and fastest researcher in the West, Camille. And tonight, our special guest, Osvaldo, who is the handle Triggerology underscore FT. He is a Second Amendment advocate. And I texted him yesterday before we hopped on the show, and I said, we're going to be talking about the 28th Amendment, this ridiculous amendment, this pipe dream that Newsom has proposed. And I was like, anything to do with the Second Amendment, we're calling Osvaldo. He's coming on the show. He's going to talk about it, and we're going to eviscerate it. Osvaldo, how are you doing tonight, my man?
Outstanding. Thank you so much for having me. Good to see you.
Excellent. Both. Yeah, as always, you know, another political stunt by Gavin Newsom. Not shocking. I don't want to bury the lead here. And I also don't want our audience to tune out right away. But the short answer of whether or not this amendment has any chance of passing is zero. So there you go. That's it. That's tonight's show. We can sign off. Thanks, everybody.
Good to see you guys.
We're all done.
Quick and simple, right to the point.
Quick and simple. It's almost too short for even a TikTok reel. But yeah, any thoughts off the bat? We're going to go into a little civics lesson about how does an amendment become actually an amendment to the Constitution? For those of you who don't remember your civics class back in elementary. But question to both of you, does anybody have any thoughts on this 28th Amendment before we jump in and discuss for today's show?
I do. You want to begin, Camille?
Oh, I have nothing. Okay. No thoughts.
I'm sure she does, but we'll defer to you.
What I can say is this is not a surprise because in typical leftist fashion, what they do is they shoot for the stars and the moon, right? They throw the most outlandish pipe dreams. And then from there, once all the outrage happens, then from then they scale back, right? So, does the, like you said at the intro, does it have any chance on earth of passing in the current state? No. But what they're going to do is they're going to scale it down into something more so the masses go like, oh, well, okay, I guess we can try something new.
But who is they? Gavin is the governor of California. He's not a member of Congress or the U.S. Senate. He's acting like he has some pull with everybody, like with everything with, you know, he's telling all the governors how to run their states and how California is better and he's a better person. And now he's basically telling Congress how to Congress. Like he's just Gavin, like go back to California, go back to your hair, Gavin, just stop.
Go back to doing Mr. Dracula stuff. That's what I've been calling him lately too, Dracula, because he looks kind of like the Tom Cruise. When Tom Cruise played Dracula, he kind of looks like that, and he has that raspy, ugly voice. I've been calling him Dracula. And plus, he probably sucks babies' blood.
Sucks for the life out of babies.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's start off with this video. It's Justice Gorsuch, just because I think a lot of people forgot how hard it is to make an amendment actually be a part of the Constitution. And that was intended by the founders. They did that on purpose. They wanted to make it so it was very hard that it had actual broad support amongst all the states in the entire country. So it's not something that's easy to slap on. This isn't like the California Constitution where there's propositions and you can vote on it. And then we end up having, I don't know how many amendments there are to the California Constitution, like 35 or something at this point. It's ridiculous. And we keep adding more constitution or more amendments. So let's watch this quick video real quick. Let me just pull it up.
Well, and it was by design to avoid the most possibly the tyranny of the majority, right? To be inflicted into the individual. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. And these are, I mean, that's not the point of today's episode to really get into it, but the Constitution itself was created to protect the rights of the minority and the majority. They didn't want just whoever got in power and whoever was popular at the time to just all of a sudden run roughshod over everyone's rights. And that's why amendments are so hard to pass, because they didn't want just whoever the mob mentality came in and all of a sudden went, hey, we don't like this, let's get rid of the First Amendment. Okay, we don't like this, let's get rid of the Fourth Amendment search and seizure. Like, there's a reason why for so long a lot of these amendments have stayed consistent. The first original Bill of Rights have stayed consistent because it's just so hard to add an amendment anyway. Exactly. But let's watch this video real quick and get brushed up on what it takes to pass it.
The National Constitution Center presents Constitutional Questions with Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch. Article 5, Amending the Constitution. In the Constitution, our founders created the greatest charter of freedom in the history of the world. They understood, however, that they didn't have a monopoly on constitutional wisdom, and that's why they put in place a process for amending the Constitution, so that future generations could continue to use our foundational document to form a more perfect union. The founders were themselves constitutional reformers. They were men of the Enlightenment. They believed in human progress and learning from history and political theory. They wanted us to continue to perfect their framework without resorting to revolution, which, as they all knew, was often violent and destructive. In Article 5, the founders offered us a formal process for amending the Constitution, but the founders set a high bar for doing so, to limit it to changes that had broad support. The Constitution spells out more than one way for amendments to be proposed and ratified. An amendment can be proposed either in Congress or by the states. If in Congress, two-thirds of the Senate and the House of Representatives must approve the amendment. In the states, two-thirds of them must call for a convention to approve an amendment. If either of those things happen, the amendment moves on to the states for ratification. It must be ratified by three-fourths of the states to become part of the Constitution, and that can happen either by a vote in the state legislature or by the state itself holding a ratifying convention. And now, Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch tells us more about our right to amend the Constitution.
We can amend our Constitution. People forget about that. But for most of our history, we had an amendment every 7 or 10 years. And that can be done by convention as well as through legislative processes. And if people think sometimes it can't happen, well, the last one happened in 1992. And James Madison had a role there too, but so did a young person in college. The young person wrote a paper about an amendment that Madison had drafted, but they didn't go anywhere back at the founding. And it had to do with salaries for congresspersons and whether they could be raised in the same term that Congress is serving, or whether they could only take effect in the future for the next Congress. And this young person thought that was a great amendment, and it had been ratified by a number of states, but not quite enough to become a part of the Constitution. And then about in 1992, this young person picked it up, wrote a paper, I think got a poor grade for the paper, but managed to start a movement to get this Madisonian amendment 200 years later adopted. And it is the most recent amendment to the United States Constitution. So there you go. We the people can, through that kind of process, still have that kind of referendum.
Okay. So that one's like 200 years in the making.
Yeah, that was that. See if it gives you an idea. Sometimes amendments take about 200 years to get passed. All right, so let's break that down real quick before we get into Newsom's proposed amendment. Yeah, if it starts in the states, which is basically what's happening here with Gavin Newsom, because I think I've just read it today. Actually, I think it's in this article I have up here. Some assemblyman or senators in California state legislature is going to propose it as an amendment. So it's starting in the states, which means now it has to get past two-thirds of state legislatures. I don't think I could name enough legislatures that would sign on to this that would make it past two-thirds. And if by chance it does make it past two-thirds, it still has to go get past three-quarters of the entire nation. And I don't think there's a chance that it's going to make it past three quarters of a nation. What are your guys' thoughts? Do you think it just based on the math alone, do you think it has a chance even of passing just procedurally?
No,
it doesn't.
succinct there, answers.
Isn't it like 45 states? There's only, I think, 5 states that have these infringing rights: California, New York, Minnesota. Like 45 states basically would be against this. We would need 34, like you said, to even, you know, start the movement, if you will, to call. And then there would be 38 to pass it. Mm-hmm. I think 45 would be against it.
And to put it more clearly, just how Camille just stated, it just so happens to be that math. 45 of the states in the union have a Second Amendment version in their state constitution. That is how we find ourselves in this situation where 5 states, I believe they're all coastal states. Illinois may be the one outlier in the center of the country. I believe I'm correct on that. It's only 5 states that do not have a version of the Second Amendment in their state constitution. And that's how we end up with these infringing laws.
Okay, can I name a state? Go ahead.
What's that?
California, New York, New Jersey, Minnesota, and Maryland are the states that don't have.
There you go.
Second Amendments.
The Second Amendment clause.
That like a state constitutional equivalent of like,
correct,
the right to bear arms. I just did the quick Google search just to even hammer the point home. Constitutional carry is getting more and more popular, and it seems every year we keep getting more and more states. As of right now, and this is what, for April 6, 2023, 24 states now allow constitutional carry. So if you look at it that way, half of the state,
25. Yeah, we're at 25. Florida being
that's double.
We're at 25.
But we may be somewhere around 28 by the time this year is done. There are a number of others. Louisiana is one that comes to mind.
So then they're literally working in the opposite direction of what Newsom needs.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, so the right to bear arms is becoming more popular, and the right to defend yourself is becoming more popular across the country, not less popular.
Phil, do you want to quickly go through what he said for those who actually haven't seen it? What?
Yeah, we can pull up. There's a video I have from the Today Show. It's only 2 minutes, so I don't want to subject you guys to too much Newsom, but it's 2.5
no,
minutes.
No, please.
I mean, he just has his
my dinner. Fun.
Yeah, he's got his gobbledygook of what he wants to say, and we'll take a quick look at what he has to say. We don't have to watch the actual video. Let's see, you know, the one that he put out,
right?
Yeah,
we'll watch just him commenting on his own wonderful proposition. Existential. Actually, hold on. Let's talk about this real quick before we move on.
Sure.
Okay, so I saw this Fox News poll, and for those of you listening on audio, it says Americans on gun control, 87% favor criminal background checks, 81% favor raising the legal age to 21, 77% favor waiting period, 61% favor banning assault rifles. And this is a Fox News poll, which is insane that this is Fox News. First thoughts. Now, and I'll just say this. Sorry, before I go to you guys. Polls are deceiving. The way they ask questions can be deceiving. So just a general word of advice, whenever you read polls like this, you know, it's always important to look at, like, what questions are they asking? How are they asking it? I mean, stuff can be asked a certain way that most people will be like, yeah, that makes sense. Sure, why not? Exactly, like, right. Yeah, okay, sure. And they'll agree to it, but they don't think about the implications of it. So what are your initial thoughts of these poll numbers? What about you, Oswaldo?
Yeah, every single one of these figures, first thing that comes to mind is, well, Fox News has been hemorrhaging audience. Who is still watching Fox News? That's my first question. It can be an entirely whole different demographic from what the usual used to be. And are they voters? Who are they? I have no idea. But each one of these key points here, I can very easily take them down. First and foremost, background checks. What criminal subjects themselves to background checks before committing a crime? With take out firearms, regardless of the tool, right? Second one, the raising legal age 21. Are you telling me that, are we going to apply that across the board? Are we going to consider everyone who is under 21 a minor from now on? Are they not going to be able to enter into, you know, contracts, right? Get married, the whole gamut. Are they not going to be able to defend themselves? You have parents, plenty of parents under 21. So you're telling me that they cannot defend their family and their loved ones until they become 21? Waiting periods. We've had plenty of examples of people being murdered, being victimized while waiting on a arbitrary waiting period that some politician that doesn't have to live where normal people live thought of. And then last and not least, the banning assault rifles. That's all a propaganda term, banning of assault weapons. All they're doing is demonizing what are largely cosmetic features that do not alter ballistics, do not alter lethality, any of that.
Osvaldo, you served, right?
Yep.
At what age did you, you were a Marine, right?
Yep.
What age did you join?
I was 20.
So under this new amendment, you could go get trained in firearms, take that firearm, be shipped to a foreign land, shoot that firearm at enemies, die for your country.
Yes.
But you could not come home and use the same firearm in the training that you, or not the same firearm, but the same training you received to protect yourself when you're here in America.
Yeah, and it's absurd. Yeah, it's absolutely absurd.
That was something that Camille and I think we discussed before the show, like how ridiculous it is that the age of 21. So what else are we going to raise to 21? Is voting now going to be 21? Do you think, like, well, you can't, if you're not old enough and mature enough to own a firearm, then guess what? You probably shouldn't be voting. You probably shouldn't be getting married. You probably shouldn't be.
Should you be able to speak freely?
You shouldn't be able to engage in any of these. I mean, to go back to what we've been talking about this month, any of those surgeries that change your gender or anything like that until you're 21. Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're assuming you're not an adult enough to use a firearm to protect yourself, then what else should you not be allowed to do until you're 21?
Mm-hmm. I think we kind of made fun of it. Like, we were like, go out and get super drunk on your 21st birthday and then go buy a gun. That's, you know. I mean, obviously that's sarcasm and they're not going to allow that. And there's still the waiting period, but yeah, we were we were making fun of that whole process. And I just want to point out again, because I think this is a really crucial point that people don't talk about enough, is this whole background check, which is, of course, we already have those. But if people are so bad that they shouldn't own guns, shouldn't they just be locked up? Like, if these people are so dangerous, why are they allowed to just live freely on the streets anyway?
Exactly right.
And that would go back to, especially in California, the liberal policies where we don't believe in locking up criminals. Like, we slap them on the wrist, throw them in jail overnight, and then they're like, go back out and do it. I don't care that you just shot up a whole bank and that you own that gun illegally. You know, we're going to make it harder for the legal gun owners to get a gun. But you who illegally own this gun and used it in the wrong manner, you know, slap on the wrist, go back out into the world, and we'll just make sure that we provide a better background check next time.
Correct. They can still access firearms in the back alleys and the gang infested neighborhoods. They will very easily, if where there's a will, there's a way. Not only firearms. Are you going to also prohibit this person to have access to bats, to hammers, to knives, to cars? I mean,
I just say, like, we already have laws in place. Let's start locking up criminals. Let's start there and see what happens. You know, actually, the laws in place where it's illegal to do these things and we just let them all go free. Like, no, let's just keep them locked up for a little while. You know, let's make them serve their sentences. Let's make them pay for their crimes. And then let's see what happens to all this,
you know,
violence.
Camille, since you're on that topic, here's one thing that I want to make sure that I express to your audience. You know, the majority of what are firearm convictions are victimless. You know, if somebody is caught with a certain type of firearm that's, you know, verboten here in California, people are getting heftier sentences than people that are actually victimizing someone, you know, for rape, for you name it, for mayhem, you know, whatever. People are getting heftier penalties for breaking a penal code regarding to firearms, even if they didn't actually victimize someone. The victim was the statute. Right? Those people are getting heftier sentences than actual rapists and, you know, people who commit crimes against other human beings. Let that sink in.
And then I just have to add that every time I see assault rifle, I laugh because no one can define assault rifle. We don't have access to the same type of guns that you had, you know, serving our country. And so I am very mature, and every time I see assault rifle, I laugh. I do.
Well, here's a funny story. Okay, the Gun Control Act banned and the National Firearms Act, they you know, instituted certain bans on what we call select firearms or automatic firearms, but it's not like they are completely banned. There is still a path for somebody to be able to own fully automatic machine guns. You just need to pay the price to the federal government and pass the background checks. And here, all of a sudden, oh, yeah, you're fine. You can go ahead and own this fully automatic firearm, or otherwise known as machine gun.
So that's what Gavin wants to ban.
Well, there's no way to ban it federally, because they would need to get rid of the NFA and the National Firearms Act and the Gun Control Act. And I don't know that they want to do that. That's a can of worms that I don't think they want to open.
Well, the thing about assault rifles is it's such Orwellian speak in terms of it can mold to whatever you want it to be. And it's like, you know, the running internet joke is like assault hammers, assault cars, like all these things can be used to assault someone.
So I brought a very neat example to help people, to illustrate to folks. This is what is the most dangerous, you know, implement c- currently in the world, in the United States. Mind you, this is it, it, they just focus on these certain cosmetic features, such as the pistol grip, the collapsible stock, being able to put stuff, accessories up here, a flash hider, because they, hides the flash, wow. And obviously a detachable magazine. There are plenty, there are plenty of firearms, of rifles that shoot the same calibers, which are very small calibers, that only have wooden stocks that these people, all, they, that they have. Yeah, no, that's fine. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
But does the exact same damage.
There was a video by Crowder he did a long time ago where he set up a tent. I think it was in Texas somewhere. He set up a tent and he pretended to be like a gun control advocate. And he laid out all these guns. And, you know, they're the same caliber, like you're saying, same caliber. One has a wood stock. One was all black and looked more like a military style rifle. And they would ask passerbys, well, which one do you think should be banned? And they'd always point to the one that they thought looked like a military grade weapon. Well, what about this one over here? No, that one's fine over there. You know, that doesn't look as menacing. That's not, probably not that bad of a gun. Same exact caliber. But, and they didn't realize that it's the same caliber, not the same exact gun, but just because it's wood and one's metal and one's black, it's like that. It's just how people perceive it. But
bro,
the fact
people
that
have people have done that same video, bro, no kidding, with Star Wars guns.
I believe it.
Oh,
yeah,
which
I believe
one do you think which one should be banned? And they point to the Star Wars guns.
Because they have no idea. They've never seen any before. Going back to a point that you were making, and I think this is a good time to bring it up. You had sent me a paper, an academic paper about, and I'm sorry if I butcher his name. I should do better because I'm Italian. Beccaria, who was an Italian philosopher.
Beccaria.
he was an Italian philosopher of the Enlightenment period, and he was a big influence on the founders. And he had basically what you were saying, what Camille was saying, the idea of if you disarm law-abiding citizens, the only people who are going to have guns are the outlaws. I know you want to talk
back
about
in the
that.
1700s, somebody was already saying that.
Yeah. He was way ahead of his time in that saying you can't disarm law-abiding citizens who are going to follow the laws, who are going to follow all the protocols, who are going to follow their right to do this and not get in trouble because they didn't want to get in trouble. You want to preserve your natural liberty, because if you get in trouble with a gun, well, guess what? You're going away. You no longer have liberty.
Right.
And that was basically what he was saying, is if you disarm the populace, the only people who are going to have guns are the outlaws. And then if you're laxed on, you know, criminal prosecution, those people, the people are now going to be even more subjected to the harms of the outlaws and the criminals, correct? You had some thoughts on this paper you want to share.
Well, yeah, it just shows you that for the folks that say, say that the founders, this was not their intent, that we've been misreading the Second Amendment all along. No. The founders knew exactly what they were saying, and it was very clearly, and all the debates that happened prior to the ratification of the Bill of Rights, it's all crystal clear right there, and they did their due diligence, so to speak. They went ahead and did some good researching and were looking at different philosophers of the time, and Cesare Beccaria was one of those, and all that reasoning went into the Second Amendment, the text mm-hmm. of the Second Amendment, and they had plenty of examples already back in the 1700s of different municipalities over back in Europe where that were promising, right? The monarchs, right, were promising the people safety in exchange of just giving away their implements of self-rescue, which is a way that I've been talking about it lately. But you're not taking away the will of the those with evil intent. There is no legislation. I will not get tired of saying this. There is no legislation effective at removing evil from someone's poisoned heart. It's just not going to happen that way. All you're doing is you are removing the ability from the good people to be able to defend themselves against the bad people. It's common sense.
The one thing that always drives me nuts, and I think you appreciate it as well because you sent me this paper, the Second Amendment didn't happen in a vacuum. People think like it just came out of nowhere, like they just kind of pulled it out of their hat and they were like, oh, it's the militia. That's it. That's the whole,
right?
You know, that's it. That's the whole analysis of the Second Amendment. Not to toot my own horn, but my law review note was actually all about the Second Amendment. And I had an amazing time going down the rabbit hole of seeing how deep and entrenched. Where does the Second Amendment come from? Why do we even have a Second Amendment? And it comes down to this idea that years before, we go all the way back to the ideas of individualism, the ideas of natural rights, of John Locke and Adam Smith and all that, of this idea of preservation. You have the ultimate right. One, you need to preserve your liberty. And two, how do you preserve that liberty? You have to be able to protect yourself out in nature. Those are two natural rights and natural laws that should never be violated. You have a right to liberty, and you have a right to defend yourself so no one infringes upon that liberty. Fast forward.
Well, it's your ultimate.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying it's your ultimate right and responsibility. Whose ultimate responsibility is, for your safety? It relies on you.
Yeah.
You cannot divorce yourself from that responsibility for your own life. It just does not work that way. I've said it before when you had me before. There is no amount of money that in the world that you can pay someone to step in front of you and take a bullet for you.
Yeah.
It just cannot happen. There's no police force. There's no police lieutenant or whatever that can tell, mandate one of their officers, go stand in front of this person and take the bullets for him.
That never happens.
It just doesn't work that way.
And then moving up through history in American history, even post-revolution, there was this period between when we won the revolution, the Revolutionary War, and when we actually had a constitution. There was a big swath of time. There's the Articles of Confederation. We had all these state constitutions. And you look at all these state constitutions, like you had mentioned earlier in the show, you have all these state constitutions. Pennsylvania is one that comes to mind. I think Maryland as well. Pennsylvania probably had the strongest Second Amendment equivalent, which was saying basically, in order to the right to preserve oneself, it was even saying to preserve oneself, one has the right to arm themselves. And that's where they got the idea from. They looked at all these amendments or these constitutions and said, hey, there's a trend here in all these state constitutions that we want to preserve our liberty and preserve ourselves. Therefore, we're going to give people the right to arm themselves. So it didn't happen in a vacuum. And it always drives me nuts when you have these leftists who just go, oh, it's the militia. See, if you dumb right wingers, you don't understand. It's all about the militia. Now, like, crack a book and read some history lessons a little bit, because this is ridiculous that you think, oh, I just read it. It's militia. That's it. Nothing happened before. Nothing happened after. History in my mind happens in a vacuum. So that's it. Case closed. And it's like, nah, there's so much going on. And the fact that this philosopher, this Italian philosopher, Beccaria, was talking about this how many years before the revolution in America happened, that he inspired people like John Madison and Thomas Jefferson, who put this stuff into the Constitution, just shows it didn't happen in a vacuum. So historical rant over.
No, thank you. I appreciate that, because people seem to think that like the founding fathers got together one night and just drafted something over beers or something, and that's what it was. They don't realize, like, they do need to go through the history of it, that there was months and months of these debates, and they had these different teams, and like it was these like forever. And then it almost didn't happen because there was the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. And, right. you know, like one group wanted the Bill of Rights and everything, and they weren't going to agree to the Constitution until they got the Bill of Rights. And this was mm-hmm. literally not some just quick overnight thing. This was months of debates with people who disagreed and disagreed and disagreed until they could come up with what is for everyone, what is for everyone, what is for everyone. And then even George Washington, in his farewell speech, you know, said, if in the opinion of the people, the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers be in any particular wrong, let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates. But let there be no change by usurpation, for though this in one instance may be the instrument of good, it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. And I just think that's such a powerful statement.
Yeah.
To go back to, we can't just be so quick to amend the Constitution just because mm-hmm. someone has what may be a good idea in a moment. And I realize Gavin's been talking about this for a couple of years, but 4 years in the grand scheme of hundreds of years is nothing.
Yeah. I mean, our whole constitutional republic took how many hundreds of years from those seedlings of ideas and philosophy, you know, like John Locke and Beccaria, to slowly make their way to different thinkers and people who then started this revolution, who then started a country. Like, it took hundreds of years to even get to that point. So to just kind of disregard that, and all history has a long arc to it. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, the Constitution was not, it was not like a college group project and they were rushing at a deadline to kind of figure it out the last minute. It took all their teachings and their learnings and their readings and their debates and their upbringings and their culture. And it took a long time for them to come to the table after what was, and you can argue whether it was a failed system or not, the Articles of Confederation. And then they said, okay, well, this didn't work, so let's try something different. But this whole idea that it just came out of nowhere for the militia drives me absolutely nuts. Because people, it just shows the lack of, once you say that, if I'm talking to you about the Second Amendment and that's your answer, you know, it's the old, oh, it's about the militia, bruh. It's not even about like you owning a gun. Then I'm like, you don't know anything. You don't know anything. You don't
know
anything.
They said it was supposed to be regulated.
Yeah, it says regulated, bruh. So that means I could regulate it.
Yeah.
I could regulate it right away.
That line that everyone was throwing at us like in 2019 and 2020 about like, you should go educate yourself, or what was it? What were they saying? Can we start saying that to them?
You have to educate yourself.
That was more like a BLM thing, but it was very like, well, you need to go educate yourself.
Oh yeah. That's the whole thing. Like if you didn't understand, you have to educate yourself. And that's another thing in the paper as well, is that they brought up in that paper you sent me as well, was after 2020, this is probably one reason why I think there's been more of a push recently for carry and conceal, more people going out, why we saw in 2020. I mean, you were out there just like, how hard was it to buy 9mm in 2020? It was like impossible to buy 9mm.
Yeah, it was difficult. You know, in the middle of the pandemic, there were shortages of the prime materials to make ammunition. So, it was quite a sight to see the lines of people lining up outside of the local shops in their ammunition delivery days. That was a thing. I participated on that and. Hey, when is the day you guys get your ammo shipments? Oh, Tuesday. Oh, okay. I'll be here. And people would line up on the mm-hmm. different ammo shipment days. Yeah, it was quite a thing.
Yeah, and I think that was all in reaction to the fact that they were seeing on their TV these Correct. Riots, these BLM riots of riots just burning down cities and the state basically wiping their hands going, yeah, we're going to let them burn down the city. They can do whatever the heck they want. We're not going to do anything. Police aren't going to step away. We're going to let them do whatever they want. And a lot of citizens probably stepped back and went, wait a second. Isn't your job
a reality check?
Yeah. The whole idea is, wait, don't we pay taxes for you to kind of hold this whole social contract together so that you protect us or provide some sort of stability? Nope. Oh, wait a second. The state really doesn't care about us and will let us burn to the ground if they want to.
Yes.
Oh, maybe I should go get a gun and protect myself. So, I think that woke up a lot of people in 2020, particularly where they said, wow, the state just stopped protecting us and I have to protect myself now. So, all right. Do we want to finish this video real quick and then we can move on to the specifics? All right. Let's finish this video out to see what else he has to say about this. Okay, yeah, we've heard that math before 100 times. I had a point I was going to say about what he was saying, and I haven't looked into this, but I'm sure it'd be interesting to see. They always talk about, well, gun deaths are higher in X, Y, and Z states than California, but those states also have looser, or not looser, but I should say. They allow you to exercise your Second Amendment rights to the fullest, allowing you to protect yourself. I wonder how many of those deaths are self-defense as well, that they probably don't factor in. Because if they are a death by gun, they don't factor in. Is it self-defense or is it murder or is it, you know, premeditated or anything like that. So they always fudge those numbers of like, well, the deaths are higher in this state and doesn't say anything about crime overall. So, yeah, the specifics of, let's see, I want to pull up the specifics. They kind of already talked about it because we're about 45, we're almost 50 minutes into the episode. We haven't really even talked about what this is, what this says. The idea is to raise the federal minimum age for all gun buyers to 21. Federal rules already apply to requires an unspecified reasonable waiting period between the time a person pays for and receives a gun. Require background checks for all gun purchases. Federal law already mandates this for sales from licensed firearm dealers, but not for non-professional vendors who might set up a stall at a gun show or sell to a family member or friend. California already imposes mandatory background checks on all sales. Bar civilian purchase of assault weapons. California has such a ban in place, but as lawmakers have discovered, coming up with a consistent working definition of assault weapon is easier said than done. Oh no, did we lose Osvaldo?
We did. I hope he comes back.
Hope he comes back.
So what is the reasonable waiting period? Like, that's another thing that never gets defined. They don't define assault weapons. They don't define what is reasonable. Who decides what is reasonable? So what is this reasonable waiting period? How long is this?
I don't know. California has a 10-day waiting period. Do they consider that reasonable? Is that something that they would consider reasonable? And I think Osvaldo made a really good point that the 10-day waiting period also backfires in a certain way where if someone's trying to get a firearm to protect themselves and they don't get it in time, there's a lot of people who are victimized because of waiting periods because they know that, you know, you can victimize someone even if they went out that day and got a gun to protect themselves. Guess what? You still got to wait 10 days before you can come back and get it.
And I'm just thinking of all the women who had to file restraining orders against their crazy ex who's threatening them. And so they actually decide to go get a gun, and then they have to wait, and then they're dead, and he's back.
He's back. We got him.
My apologies.
No problem. We were just going over the amendment itself, so you didn't miss much. Well, like we were saying, and it went over in that poll. So his whole amendment is raise it to 21, require unspecified reasonable waiting period, background checks. Federal law already mandates this from licensed firearm dealers, non-professional vendors who might set up a stall at a gun show. They keep saying this gun show myth, like this gun show loophole.
Gun show loophole.
Is that a real thing? Because I've seen conflicting things about, like, can you go to a gun show and just buy a gun without a background check? I've seen it where you can't go to a gun show and just buy it. They're going to ask you to fill out the form and do everything, and they submit it.
Correct. So that's accurate. When you go to a gun show anywhere in the States and you are face-to-face with a federal firearms licensee or FFL, they are supposed to run a background check. Mm-hmm. However, firearms are personal property. What they're saying is, well, people are doing private transactions in the parking lot, and that is what they want to outlaw. Mm-hmm. That's where it gets to by state by state. There are plenty of states that respect the constitutional right for people to do as they please with their personal property. What the federal law states is that if you have no reason to believe that this person is a prohibited individual, that you can go ahead and do what you're, you know, with your firearm as you please, and you go ahead and sell it to somebody that you know. What mm-hmm. the law states, if you know that this knowingly, that this person is a prohibited individual, then you are committing a crime. But again, you are committing a crime, and there are plenty of people who are willing to do that. Mm-hmm. So again, we go back. It's a circle, right? We go back to, okay, you just want to create laws, but there are still going to be people that are willing to break your laws. Just like we continue to say, murder is illegal. And it has not stopped murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ever, regardless of the implement.
Right.
So what are we doing?
Yeah, so we got a couple minutes left before we're at the hour. I think we covered a good gamut about how thinly veiled this is as to what they're trying to do here. I think we were chatting about it before, where it is the idea that they put it out there. They put it out into the zeitgeist. They put this amendment out there, and then they keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it to the point where people go, oh yeah, it's not that bad of an idea. And then people willingly start to vote away their rights based on this thing now being in the zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the scariest thing, is that people will voluntarily vote for this stuff or support this stuff without even really mm-hmm. thinking about it. And they're couching it in this idea of common sense, when we've only been here an hour, and I think we've pointed out the absurdity of all these things. So they're not really that much of a common sense. What do you think?
No, they're not common sense at all. I mean, let me give you the example again of this tool. This is an outstanding self-defense tool. Mm-hmm. I've been saying now for a while, I want to defend my life and my loved ones' lives with superior firepower. I do not want inferior firepower. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to, now that I am at a disadvantage because whoever decided to victimize me or your audience, right, they had the advantage of premeditation, of planning. Now I have to react. But you politician, Mr. and Mrs. Politician, want me to be at a disadvantage. You mm-hmm. want to take implements like this away from me. You want to take extended ammunition capacity from me. Why? That is not common sense. That doesn't sound like common sense to me. You want to place me at a disadvantage. I'm already at a disadvantage. I didn't have to go through a the criminals didn't have to, most certainly probably didn't have to go through a background check. Didn't have to pay taxes, on the firearms and the ammunition. Didn't have to go through the training for the concealed carry permit. Didn't have to do any of that. I am already at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
How is that commonsensical? That's a new definition for common sense to me.
I think hammering this point home, if anybody plug for Osvaldo here, go to his page, and you posted that video of that attack in France, right? Of the guy with a knife.
Sensitive places.
Yeah, terrorizing a playground. If you want an idea of like what a world would look like, even without guns, there will always be people who want to terrorize others and harm others, and they don't care. They'll just do it. And, you know, if you take away the ability of those law-abiding citizens to protect themselves, you've just given free rein to the evil in the world that's going to go out there and harm people, yeah, like in that video. So I highly Absolutely. Encourage if you go check it out. It's Triggerology_FT is your username. He has the video. Osvaldo's the video up there. It's tough to watch, but I encourage people to watch it because this really happened and this is real life. There's situations where you probably wish, like you were saying, if someone's attacking you, you want to be at an advantage, not the disadvantage. However, politicians in the state want us to be at a constant disadvantage, relying on the state. So,
yeah,
yes,
you know that's the way that these things usually work out. That I'm yet to see a firearm law that places me at an advantage, mm-hmm, versus someone who's trying to victimize me. I'm yet to see one.
Yeah.
Not background checks, not waiting periods, not age restrictions, not ammunition capacity restrictions. None of these place me or the good people in the audience or yourselves at an advantage over the criminal element. None of them.
Do you think if we posted more gun-free zone signs, that would help?
Well, ask Ukraine. I think Ukraine posted, no guns, no tanks allowed in their borders. And I think that worked out.
Cool.
Yeah Russia them. Just turned right around. They said, darn it.
You know, because, yeah.
Better luck next time.
That's the way it works out.
But once you just put a sign and say it's illegal to bring your tanks into our country, people will turn right around. All right, so we're coming up on the hour. Any final thoughts from either of you about Newsom's crazy 28th Amendment? Whoever wants to hop in first, final thoughts.
Yeah, what I want to say to your audience is I want you, and this is echoing the same thing I've said in the past, I want you to protect and advocate for your rights assertively. Because none of these people, not Gavin Newsom, not Joe Biden, not Kamala Harris, none of these people are going to be there to protect you, to save you, to rescue you, should you be targeted by one of these knuckleheads. Mm-hmm. None of them are. They do not live where you live. They do not shop where you shop. They do not worship where you worship. None of those things. So you need to advocate for your rights, exercise your rights, and take ultimate responsibility for your safety, because that's literally what it is. It is your responsibility. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, well said, Camille.
That's a great ending. No, I think that's a great ending. Can't Camille's talk
like,
that.
Camille's like, can't even.
I'm gonna
talk
do
that.
A shameless plug. I do have outstanding merch. Triggerology.shop. I think this is in. I don't know if it's inverted. But it reads, my life is worth protecting with superior firepower. I also have these. I'm keeping my guns, Gavin.
That's a good one.
You can go to triggerology.shop and find some outstanding embased merch.
And where else can where else can people find you and follow you?
Yeah, Triggerology_FT on Instagram and on Twitter, Triggerology. That's it.
Awesome. Cool. Well, as well, thanks for coming on tonight. As always, very spirited, wonderful Second Amendment discussion, as always. For anybody who is watching, make sure you like, share, subscribe, all that stuff for this video, for this podcast on audio, on Rumble. And if you want to help this show and you want to help support the show, the best and free thing you can do is share this show with a friend, family members, anybody, really, just share it with them. We're now on Rumble because a lot of people like to be on Rumble. Great numbers on Rumble tonight, so that's awesome. Yeah, Rumble seems to be the way to go. We're still on YouTube. It's good to be on Rumble and get a good amount of audience there. So yeah, make sure you like and share and subscribe and all that stuff. And we'll see you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Stay free, everyone.